Jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, December 15th, 2015, 10 days before Christmas. Isn't that interesting? We're coming to you live from the radio and television studios located in beautiful northwest Pennsylvania, where we're heard live weeknights, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network. That's our flagship network. That's the place to be. Programs such as Ted Brewer, Dave Hodges, many others. I mean, my goodness, Russ Dizdar, all on the Global Star Radio Network. We're also simulcast folks on Blog Talk as well as YouTube, our official YouTube channel. You can watch us live should you choose to do so. Just go to HagmanHagman.com. That's our internet presence. Click on the right-hand side, the link to YouTube, and bada-bing, there you are. And I'm Doug Hagman at the helm. My son, fellow investigator researcher Joe Hagman. Together, we are something I like to call the Hagman and Hagman Report. And we like to dig deep into topics that other mainstream media outlets don't. And we really adhere to, well, we like to poke holes into the coincidence theory of history and geopolitical events as opposed to adapt to them. Tonight we've got a very great show for you lined up. First 2 hours, Greg Jackson, two G's on Greg Jackson, gregjackson.com, author, just a prolific author, a couple of books, including 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, and he's going to be on the first 2 hours, and then Stan Dale, coming up in hour number three. But Joe, going to kick it over to you. Yeah, and I got a blue screen over there, by the way.
Yeah, the preview screen's blue. Yeah, we got a great show lined up for you tonight. Greg Jackson is our guest now for the first 2 hours, and he's got a couple of announcements to make. We're going to do a 40 Things special H&H promotion, as well as a 40-day challenge, and also talking about the presidential race as the debates are ongoing tonight, or there is another debate tonight, but Greg Jackson is the national best-selling author of Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies, We Won't Get Fooled Again, and his newest book we will be discussing tonight, which has been the number one ranked book on Amazon, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, The Simple American Truths About Life, Family, and Faith.
Amen. It's a great book. I recommend this. I'll tell you what, I've given this book out to family, friends, anybody with children, or just needs to know. You know, it's a good resource book.
Yes,
here it is.
Is
right here. Well, I guess people can see it, right? Here it is right here. And if you look in the back in terms of who has endorsed his book, my goodness, so much praise for this. And it's such a simple book. It really is. Simple doesn't equate necessarily to simple, it's elegantly simple. How's that? For example, you should be narrow-minded. You know, doesn't the world teach us to be tolerant and open-minded? No, you should be narrow-minded. That's just one brief chapter here. It's very simple, very biblical based. With that, Mr. Greg Jackson, welcome to the Hagman Hagman Report. Good to have you here, buddy.
Joe and Doug, it's always a great pleasure to come on your show. And congratulations. I think I've been on the Global Star Radio Network since you guys have gone really, really big. I mean, you were big before, but even bigger now on Global Star. I'm just so happy to see the growth of your show and what the Lord is doing behind the scenes to orchestrate all of the great guests that you bring on. And thank you again for lowering the bar low enough to accommodate my coming on, as always. But I love you guys. I appreciate you guys so much. I'm as much a listener as I am a frequent guest when you guys give me the honor of coming on. And it's you guys are doing something very, very special and very unique in these last days. This is really remnant radio. This is where the remnant of God's people come to get increased understanding of the times in which we're living in, like the sons of Issachar knowing the times in which we're living in, having clear understanding of what it will take to endure these times and to thrive in these times. I mean, I got to be honest with you, I am excited about the days in which we're living. I mean, if you look at the Drudge Report tonight and you see, you know, apocalyptic doom and gloom basically splattered all over the you know, the Drudge reports about the school, and I know we're going to talk about some of this stuff tonight, about the school closings, and I guess 900 schools closing in Los Angeles, and, you know, apocalyptic type of, you know, things with, you know, there's a picture on the Drudge Report right now of these kids with painted zombie-like faces, blood coming out of their eye sockets, and, you know, they're just crazy times that we're living in. But the Hagman and Hagman report is a place where the gathering of the brethren can take place, where we can discuss the times in which we're living in, so that we can have more peace and more clarity, but most importantly, so that we can have a greater understanding of how we are to live in these last days. And that's what I've always appreciated about you guys, is that that's what the platform that you guys provide. That is your ministry. We're going to get into that a little bit, because the book I've written, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, dovetails with that, because, you know, essentially you guys don't just give the doom and gloom. You know, a portion of the show is about the Illuminati, about the shadow government, you know, and about the various, you know, real conspiracies. And we can't deny that some conspiracies are true. For example, the most famous one of all time is the conspiracy that led to the death of our Savior. I mean, those who killed Jesus without reason or merit or a case conspired to kill him. Of course, Judas was part of that conspiracy, as were the Pharisees, and so some conspiracies are true. And what I've always appreciated, Joe and Doug, is that, you know, I believe the lie for so long in my life. You know, if we just elect more Republicans to office, you know, our country will be, you know, we'll be better off, and that's the answer to all of America's problems, is just voting Republican. And I was guilty for a great many years of essentially placing the flag above the cross, and it was kind of a blind patriotism. And your show really opened my eyes to a lot of the things that I thought were true, that I now realize were false, and that I was basically living in the Matrix. But I'm glad that I've taken the red pill. And now that I can see things more clearly, those things which used to get me upset and riled up, you know, listening to Rush Limbaugh 3 hours a day and being angry and upset about the liberals and the Democrats and, you know, getting caught up in the political debate, I've been freed from that, as I know many of your listeners have.
Greg, I gotta tell you, buddy.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't mean to interrupt your stride here, but
no, go ahead.
You know, yesterday was Monday, and after a weekend of being off, Eric the Tech came in to the office yesterday after a weekend of doing nothing but watching documentaries I shouldn't say documentaries, but exposés on secret societies and you know how this everything's an illusion and the voting it doesn't matter, and his, you know, he had this. This look, this glassy-eyed look, and saying he just kept walking around bumping into walls, saying everything's an illusion. That's all. It doesn't matter, you know. So now we've converted another one from the coincidence theories of history, the theory of history, to the conspiratorial, the true aspect of history. So Eric's over there shaking his head. So, but yeah, you know, it's an awakening. It's a process, isn't it, that we go through.
Well, yeah, it absolutely is. And I think part of it, you touched on it last night in the show, part of it requires just a humility that you don't know everything, and that when we come with a childlike faith and when we come with an open mind to accept another point of view, and that when we're open to the truth, I think that it becomes more easy to allow the Holy Spirit to impart true wisdom and understanding in our lives. And really, I mean, that's the secret sauce. That's what you guys provide the platform for, is really not accepting things at face value. And because we know that much of what surrounds us in this holograph that we live in, I think that's what Paul McGuire refers it to, a holograph, which it is in many regards, is just false. And but when we come out of the Babylonian system and the construct of many of these man-made lies and deceit that surround us, when we come out of that, it's very freeing, it's very cathartic. We no longer have to fear those things, because we know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we who are self-professing Christians can think clearly, because God has given us the ability. He's given us a sound mind. And so, if I could just kind of go into a little bit in terms of 40 things, because I'm really excited, and I want to announce to your audience. Part of the reason that I called you a few weeks ago and wanted to come on the show and we talked about it was that, Joe and Doug, you guys are such an amazing blessing to so many people who so appreciate, and I know how hard you guys work. I know, just being a talk radio show host and doing an hour program, that I had to put many, many hours, you know, at least 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours into every hour that I was doing on the air. And it's a full-time job if you're doing it right. And I know the amount, the extent of the work and the research that you guys do as investigators, as researchers, to get to the truth. And, you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to come on the show tonight was to bless you guys, to show my appreciation for every opportunity that you've, you know, extended to me to come on the show, to share my heart, and to help minister to the Hagman and Hagman family. And, you know, I thought, what a great opportunity with Christmas coming up to give away some books. And so I shipped you guys, as you guys know, I think we shipped you 25 copies of my newest book, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, which I wrote for my son Jake, but which many parents around the country are benefiting from, and which I think has been a great blessing to so many people, thank God. And what I'd like to announce is that tonight we're going to be giving away copies of 40 Things. We're going to talk about it a little bit, because I think, Joe and Doug, that we can see the handwriting on the walls. Those of us who are even partially awake know that we're living in the last of the last days. Now, we don't know the day or the hour of our Lord's return, but it's looking like it's right around the corner. And the way things are lining up eschatologically, and that, as I said, they're scary times, but if you look at things from a biblical perspective, and if you're being led by the Holy Spirit, these should be exciting times for the believer, because I believe that things are going to get so dark in this country and around the world that people are going to be looking for true hope, because the things that we've put our hope in, Joe and Doug, the things of this world, our 401ks, our children, whatever the idols that we've constructed around us and have put our hope into, our homes, our vacation homes, our cars, whatever it is for us, those things, I believe, are going to be taken away from us. And I think that it's probably a good thing, because God is getting our attention. And I think that the times that we're living in, even though they're going to be increasingly dark and potentially scary, I think are exciting from the standpoint that we who have the light of Jesus in us, our lights are going to shine even brighter, and we are going to be able to supernaturally take part in the greatest harvest of souls, I pray. Some people would call, if there is an awakening in our country, a third great awakening. I would consider it a fourth great awakening, because I think the third great awakening actually was in the 1970s with the Jesus generation, that probably many of your listeners took part in, that came to faith in the early 1970s. But I think that this is a time right now that is so exciting from the standpoint that as the world crumbles around us, we have the opportunity to speak truth into people's lives, to encourage people, to lift people up, to show them that the true answer to all of our problems is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, you know, this is the main problem that ails America. And that's essentially why I wrote my book, 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, because I wanted my son, who's 10, to know the truth, biblical truth about the most important issues of the day, so that if I died, God forbid, I would be able to give him a legacy, something that he could sink his teeth into and know these are the things that Dad believes in as it pertains to the law, to government, to my faith, to salvation, to all of the things that I consider to be most important. Probably the exact opposite, Joe and Doug, of what the world is teaching our kids in the culture and the media and society in general and in schools. And so I want to give a bunch of copies out tonight. And what I'm hoping is that, and what I want your listeners to know is that all the proceeds for the book are going to be going toward your ministry, the Hagman and Hagman Report, to help you guys do the outstanding work, the important work that you guys do on a daily basis. And, I don't know what that noise is in the background there. Sorry. But
is that on your end or is that on our end? It's on your end.
You know, it's my end. It's these darn pop-up ads. I don't know where it came from, but I'm going to close it out. But what I'm hoping for, Joe and Doug, is that we got Christmas around the corner. People are thinking about different ministries that they can bless and different organizations, and they're getting, I guarantee, deluged with mail at their house or being asked for money for this organization and that organization. Well, I would just ask the Hagman and Hagman audience who listens on a nightly basis or that considers themselves to be part of the Hagman and Hagman family, that are loyal listeners, that you guys would consider donating to Joe and Doug's ministry tonight, because as I understand it, donations everywhere, not just your ministry, but I think in many ministries are down. I mean, the economy is down, and you got 100 million people that are out of work. They're not in the workforce right now, and I know times are tough, but I also do know that there are a lot of Hagman and Hagman listeners who have been blessed and who can afford to support you guys. And my prayer tonight, Joe and Doug, is that we would come together as part of the Hagman and Hagman family and bless you guys by simply going to HagmanandHagman.com, going to the top of the page and hitting the donate button. You can pay on PayPal or whatever it is in your heart that you feel led to give to Joe and Doug in their ministry. And we're going to give away some books. And what I would suggest is that for a minimum donation of $100, and I'm hoping that for those of you who can afford to donate more, to give more, you know, go in prayer and decide in your heart how much you're willing to give, and go to HagmanandHagman.com and join me. I'm going to make a donation to you guys tonight because I love you guys. I appreciate what you guys do. And the first 25 people that go to HagmanandHagman.com, hit the donate button, that make a minimum of $100 donation, you're going to get a free autographed copy, and not by me, but by you guys, because you guys have the books. You're going to mail them out. And all that they would have to do, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joe and Doug, is send you an email to studio@HagmanandHagman.com with their receipt, their PayPal receipt, or however they choose to donate to HagmanandHagman.com, and they will send that to studio@HagmanandHagman.com with their address so that you can send them an autographed copy of 40 Things, and then they'll get a book, and then they'll be able to feel good about supporting your important ministry. How does that sound?
Well, that sounds great. And in the donate part of the website, when people make a donation on PayPal, there's a part where there's a memo box where you can write in information. And if people want to write in that memo part, information stating, you know, book donation, and then give us their address, they can do so that way, and or also send an email to studio@HagmanandHagman.com with their receipt.
And yeah, you don't have to look. We trust people. I mean, you don't have to send a receipt. Just put book. You know, and that's the thing. The information in this book, Greg, is important for our spiritual growth. People really, you know, I mean, the spiritual, and folks, you can get this through the publisher at normal price. Understand that. please. And if you don't want us to sign the book, we understand that too. I mean, to me, that'd be defacing valuable property with our signature. But we'll do it, you know. It's really kind of nice of you to do that, Greg. Thank you so much. And, you know, it's a kind of a really weird time right now with the economy, with people, with the internal, I don't know, just all the strife that's taking place. It's an amazing time to, really.
Well, I want to thank my publisher, David Dunham from Dunham Books. He's an amazing guy. He's the one who was all for it. I mean, I came to him with the idea. He loves you guys. He's very supportive. He loves the work that you guys do. And, you know, Doug, you make a good point. Things are dark. It's easy to get caught up in, like your tech was doing, you know, watching all the documentaries. And we, you know, we fill our minds and we fill our spirits with all of these, you know, kind of dark things that are going on in the world. And I think that, you know, it's really important to feed our spiritual souls with things that are true and things that are beautiful and things that are from the Lord. You know, when I wrote this book to my son, his name is Jake, and he's 10 now. He's in fifth grade. And he's studying for the spelling bee right now, or he should be. This is the dedication I wrote to him. And I think it really goes to the heart of the book, Joe and Doug. It says, if you'll allow me to read, it's just a short dedication.
Oh,
it says,
sure.
And it's just from Proverbs 3, verse 21 and 26. It says, my son, and then I put in parentheses, Jake, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. That's really, that went right to the heart as I prayerfully considered different scripture to put in the dedication. That's the one that really hit me, Joe and Doug, because it really goes to the heart of, I think, with probably what we're all dealing with everything that's going on in the world. We need to remember that when we draw close to the Lord and when we feed our spiritual man and woman with His Word, when we abide in Him, when we spend time in prayer, when we spend time fellowshipping with other believers, He gives us the answer. He says, even though the world's, I'm paraphrasing, He said, even though the world's going to hell in a handbasket, you're going to be able to go on your way in safety. Your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. How awesome are those promises? When we think about that, is the promise of God that we can hang our hats on, that we can rest assured. And so that's why I wrote this book for Jake, because I know that the deception that is coming upon this world is going to increase at such an exponentially rapid rate that people, if they're not grounded in the Word, they're going to be deceived and they're not going to be able to endure. And so, if you guys wouldn't mind, and I'd like to find out from you guys have both read the book and you've given it away, but I intentionally, you know, I made a list one day of all, and many of this is going to be new information because a lot of people at Global Star who haven't heard your show, and I was on the old network, haven't heard me discuss the book before, the story, so I'm just going to briefly describe it to you guys, Joe and Doug. But a couple of years ago when I started writing the book, I just compiled a list when I was thinking of things to put in the safe that, you know, for my family, and I thought, you know, there's some silver in there and there's some trinkets, but you know, there's really nothing of a legacy that I could leave for my family that would let them know what's important, what I really believe in my heart, and what I feel is important for them to know. And so I made a list, Joe and Doug, and that list became a book. And I sent it to my publisher friend, David Dunham, and his wife actually read it and said she loved it. And they wanted to publish the book, and it became 40 Things to Teach Your Children. And really, it's you mentioned it earlier, Doug, that it's so simple. And that's why the subtitle is The Simple American Truths About Life, Family, and Faith. And really, you know, we as adults, we tend to make complex the simple. We things that are really, really simple, like believe on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. I mean, how simple is that? But we're like, well, that's way too easy. There's got to be a catch. It's got to be more. I have to do some things to earn my salvation, right? So we just don't take God at his word, and instead of just with a childlike faith accepting the things of God, we make the simple complex. And I wanted to write a book that was geared for kids my son's age, for children and young adults, but simple enough that even adults could understand it. Because as somebody who's taught a Sunday school class since my son was four, I can tell you that kids have a childlike faith and they get it. When you read the Bible to them and when you discuss these issues with them, they understand it and they accept it. But it's we as adults, because we're jaded, we've been through life, we've been hurt by people and relationships and churches, and we're skeptical and cynical, and I'm right along there with everybody else. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody else. But I wanted to write this book because I wanted my son to just have a simple guide, and the book is only about, 80 pages, 83 pages, where he could go to, where he could know the truth on the most important issues of the day. You know, and I think, you know, Ray Comfort, who's the author of Way of the Master and a guy I greatly respect, he and Kurt Cameron have a great ministry where they go out and they share the gospel with people, and has been very successful. He wrote the foreword for my book, and it was one of the greatest blessings in my life when he agreed to write the foreword. And he said, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that our nation has, in just a few years, given itself to gross darkness. When I was a child, I didn't have the temptations that this generation has because I didn't have the opportunity to feed my sinful heart. It took some time to get a hold of an explicit picture, but nowadays, children can be swallowed up in a whirlpool of filth in a matter of seconds. And our sinister and sinful natures don't resist for a second. We drink iniquity like water. Without a solid biblical knowledge of God that produces a healthy fear of the Lord, this generation cannot survive. God bless Greg Jackson for his passion to see that children are trained up in the way they should go. Without godly instruction, this godless generation is heading for eternal destruction in a very real hell. May this book be divinely used to raise a generation of men and women who will have the boldness of Elijah, the faith of Abraham, the courage of David, and the wisdom of Solomon, and the passion of Paul. And may all of what they do for the kingdom of God be motivated by the love of Christ, for love is the fountain of all we do. Oh. And Joe and Doug, that, you know, when he wrote that forward to me, I couldn't have thought of a better words to describe. I mean, it was like he was tapped into exactly why I wrote the book, but he articulated it much more eloquently than I could have. But that's really the heart of the matter, Joe and Doug. If you're, and this is no slam against parents that are sending their kids to a public school, because I know some parents have to for whatever reasons. But if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we have to acknowledge that our kids, if we believe in our hearts that they're truly as important as we say they are, if they're our most prized possessions that we have in the world, then we're going to go to all means necessary, no matter what the cost, to make sure that they know the truth of God's word. And with all of the things that they're bombarded with in the culture and the media and going to school, let's face it, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. These government schools, these statist schools, are teaching statism, communism, and essentially atheism, godless atheism. Everybody and everything and every idea and every value and every subject, Joe and Doug, that is allowed in school is allowed except for one thing, God's word. Prayer and the Bible were taken out in 1963 because Christians surrendered that to one atheist. And my hope and my heart is that now parents, Christians especially, will understand the lateness of the hour and the importance of us taking back our role as the primary instructors of our children's moral and spiritual upbringing, and to get really, really serious about carving out time to sit down with our children and our loved ones, and not just our children, our spouses, family, friends, whoever it is that the Lord places on our heart, to share with them the truth of God's word so that they would know the truth and would be set free.
That's right. Amen. You know, I don't think I could have said that any better. And, you know, our children, if you're of child rearing age, at this point, you've got a child in grade school, or look at that. Look at your child and think about what we are leaving to him or her, and what you're leaving to him or her. I mean, Greg, you know, it's our children. Oh, the trite sayings, our children are our future. But when we sit down and look at really the mess that's around us, everything that has taken place, and nothing good seemingly in the future, unless you're really spiritually bankrupt, or you're of the world where you want nothing but prosperity if you're in that 1%, or if you want the handouts, which are in the other half of the equation. I mean, it's, you know, Greg, it just, I don't know. We really have to take care of our children, and we have to take responsibility for our children at this point. Especially, again, if you're at that age, or if your children are of that age. And we have to do whatever the reason that we find ourselves in this position, because it was developed, or it was designed, where parents would be strapped. You'd have to have two incomes in order to raise a family. It was designed that way.
Absolutely it was. To destroy the family, to take the mother, who is chief caregiver and manager of the home, an all-important role, to destroy the family, to separate the family, and to put the children under the direct control of the state-run, I call them Marxist madrasas, communist indoctrination factories. But if you do some research, and you'll see very clearly that Thomas Dewey, who is the founder of the modern public school educational system, and C.F. Potter, they're both on record. You can do an easy search on the internet to read their quotes. But essentially, they knew that 1.5 hours or an hour at Sunday school could not compete with 40 hours of atheistic indoctrination a week.
Right, right.
And that was the goal from the start. So they talk about separation of church and state, but the number one goal of the government-run public school system is to indoctrinate your children into being good little wards of the state and good little boys and girls who are going to be obedient to the New World Order, kiss the ring of Caesar.
Exactly. Can I ask you, Greg? I mean, look, folks, Greg Jackson is an accomplished author, and he certainly knows what he talks about. Can you address the myth of the separation of church and state? Because so many people are really hung up on that and have bad information. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
But it'd be good if you can just provide your expertise and just tell the audience why it's a lie.
And, well, provide a good example, because it's a very short chapter in my book. It's chapter 34. There is no separation of church and state in our Constitution. Here's the way I explained it to my 9-year-old. You will be told that religion and politics don't mix and must be kept separate because our Constitution calls for the quote-unquote separation of church and state. Problem is, there is no separation of church and state in our Constitution. God is sovereign over civil matters, and governments are instituted among men to protect and defend God-given inalienable rights. You can't have a virtuous and moral government without virtuous and moral people who fear God and obey His word. Founding Father James Madison said as much in Federalist No. 51, quote, but what is government itself but the greatest of all reflections on human nature? If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. You can't separate the Christian values from civil government. Thus, you can't separate the Christian religion from civil government. This, and I didn't note this in my book, but I will note it for your audience, Doug, that the words separation of church and state do appear in a constitution, just not ours. They actually appear in the former Soviet Union's constitution, which I know you've covered on your show. It's article number 124 of the former Soviet Union's constitution, which, by the way, is still alive and well.
Thank you for that, for letting people know that. Yeah.
And so the goal was always to remove the Bible and prayer from school, and to remove the Bible and prayer and God from our civil institutions, which, by the way, God created civil government. But that was one of the greatest lies of probably the 20th century, this whole canard, this whole notion of the separation of church and state. But if you read many of the founding fathers, you'll see that they all believed, and there's hundreds of quotes, but the founding fathers believed quite strenuously, quite emphatically. For example, John Adams said the general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. He also said that July 4th, Declaration of Independence Day, ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. When was the last time you heard that? But, I mean, Alexander Hamilton began work with Reverend James Bayard to form the Christian Constitutional Society to help spread over the world the two things which Hamilton said made America great. Number one was Christianity. Number two, a constitution formed under Christianity. So the Christian Constitutional Society, do you know what its first object was? It was for the support of the Christian religion. Second, the support of the United States. So the founding fathers John Adams, in a letter to John Hancock, said, "We recognize no sovereign but God and no king but Jesus." So it's a total lie, and I think most of your listeners understand. We don't have to belabor the point that this nation was founded on biblical Christianity, on the tenets of the Christian faith, and that although we've lost that, and maybe, I hate to say it, maybe Pastor Barack Obama was correct when he said we are no longer a Christian nation. We're not in many regards, but we were founded on Christian values and principles, and that's actually a chapter in 40 Things. Chapter 33, Christians founded America and our laws were based on the Bible.
The Republican debate is tonight. Yeah. I just wonder, Greg, will Christianity ever come up? Will the word...
Good question.
Will the term Christianity even come up? I doubt it. Not even in the context of Islamic terrorism. So, or what is perceived to be terrorism.
It's so funny you mention that, Doug, because I was just thinking today, I made a list called the top 10 things that I probably won't hear but would love to hear from the presidential candidates. And, I've gotten to have somewhat of a friendship with Mike Huckabee, and I sent him a voicemail earlier today encouraging him. I don't even know if he's taking part in this particular debate tonight or if he's in the first debate or what debate he's in. But I wanted to encourage him because, and by the way, I know that no candidates are perfect. I'm not saying Mike Huckabee is the end-all, be-all. But Mike Huckabee was the only one in that first Fox debate, and we covered it on your show, Joe and Doug, that said that as president, he recognized the fact that ending the abortion holocaust in America was probably the most important thing that we could do, that any president could do, because there's no hope for America unless the right to life is restored. that no other issue really matters unless the right to life for all innocent human persons be restored. And so he pledged in that first Fox debate, and you can go on YouTube and look at it. It was probably the most important 42 seconds of the entire debate. And he said, as president, I pledge that I will enforce the 5th and 14th equal protection and due process of the laws for all innocent human persons in all states that violate the right to life for the unborn. Now, basically, what Mike Huckabee said was, our rights come from God, that governments are instituted among men to protect those rights, and that as commander-in-chief, as chief executive officer, as president of the United States, his first official act would be to end the abortion holocaust in America, to close down the abortuaries, to recriminalize child murder, and to restore the right to life. Now, you'd think that that would be big news. You'd think that, boy, he would probably go up substantially in the polls. You'd think that he'd probably have at least 50 or 60% support from Christians and conservatives in America. But unfortunately, Joe and Doug, the guy who's leading in the polls is Donald Trump. And I know this might be upsetting to some of your listeners, but, you know, as I was thinking about Donald Trump, by the way, there's a lot of things that I like about Donald Trump. And I admire, and I think a lot of people admire. Well, number one, he's not politically correct. No one would accuse Donald Trump of being politically correct, right? Can we agree on that one?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
But it's so stipulated, yes.
So, the guy's got so much money that he's like the honey badger. You know, he's just having a ball with all that honey and slopping it all over his face, and he's just having a ball telling the truth about a lot of these empty suit Republican politicians and the Democrats as well. And I think that really does, so I can see the appeal to most people. I can see the appeal to his calls for banning, or at least putting a temporary abeyance or suspension on allowing any more Muslims in the country. So I understand that. I can appreciate that. It makes sense to me. So I can understand building a bigger wall down on the southern border. Man, we've been calling for that for years, right? But unfortunately, you know, when you really think about it, you know, let's take God out of all of this. Let's take the Bible out of all of this. And let's just look at it from just from a purely secular standpoint, Joe and Doug. Let's take a look at Donald Trump, and let's see if he is really deserving of our support. Because I haven't, you know, here's what I know about Donald Trump, and Nathan Leal did a great job a couple weeks ago on your show talking about some of it. Mm-hmm. We know that Donald Trump is a lifelong Democrat. We know Donald Trump is a multi-billionaire who inherited his wealth, and by the way, that's not saying that necessarily means that he can't be president or, you know, that there's not a lot of merit in any of his ideas. But what I'm saying is that largely his appeal is to middle America, Christian, you know, working people in Iowa. I mean, he's got a lot of support in Iowa and in South Carolina and in the Bible Belt. And yet he comes from a multi, you know, billionaire real estate magnate family. He's, I think, on his third marriage. I believe that he has a YouTube video out where he congratulates a demonically possessed singer. I'm forgetting her name at the moment.
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus, who does all sorts of crude behavior at her concerts, and says, "Don't let them get you down, Miley." I do know that if you look at Donald Trump, Donald Trump, there's a video on YouTube, which any of your listeners could easily go to. It shows him kissing, and I'm sorry if there's children nearby, please, I'm giving you warning to take them away from the radio, put earmuffs over their ears, but he kisses the breasts of Rudy Giuliani dressed in drag in some skit they did for Saturday Night Live. So when I look at Donald Trump, and those are just a few of the things, the fact that he's been a huge supporter of Hillary Clinton and her campaigns, that he's been to the Clintons, one of their weddings, I believe, for their daughter, that he's very close with a lot of liberal activists around the country, that he's on record saying that he's pro-choice, that he's on record as saying that he's in favor of civil unions, which is basically just a euphemism for same-sex marriage, but by another name. A guy who never talks about God or the founding principles or any of the things that we're talking about in the show today. And I think to myself, if you just look at his track record, does the rhetoric match his fruit, his actions, his past, his history, the record? And so if we're going to do an evaluation, a cost-benefit analysis, which I'm sure, you know, that's something that he does a lot as a businessman. If we're going to do a cost-benefit analysis and we're going to take a look and we're going to vet the candidate, Donald Trump, to his past actions and support of other candidates and Democrat and liberal causes and positions on certain issues, does that warrant support from Bible-believing Christians in America? Because here's the one thing. Do I still have you guys?
Yes, you do.
Okay,
yeah, that was a deliberate
here's the
pause.
One thing. Well, here's the one thing that I've not heard from Donald Trump. Here's the one thing that I've not heard from most of the candidates. But here's the one thing I haven't heard from the guy who has the most support. Here's what I'd love to hear, but I've never heard from Donald Trump, that government exists primarily to protect and defend God-given rights, that there's no higher law than God's law, that any law or court opinion that's contrary to God's law is legally null and void and must be rejected, that all human life begins at conception and no state possesses the right to violate that right, that abortion has never been and never will be legal, since any law contrary to God's law is no law at all, and that murder can never be legal, that God defined marriage as the exclusive union of one man and one woman, and that any court opinion or law that seeks to redefine marriage is legally null and void, and as president, that President Trump would not enforce the Obergefell opinion or any other court opinion or law that funds any same-sex unions, that Islam or Sharia law is not compatible with the United States Constitution. Actually, I got to give the Donald credit on that one. I haven't heard him use those terms, but he's come closer than any other candidate. So,
yeah.
To be fair, that's the one thing that he's come the closest to saying. But have you ever heard Donald Trump say, "I will bring back all of the troops from Afghanistan who are there basically to protect the poppy fields and to place them on the southern border"? I know he wants to build a big wall that he's talking about, but I've never heard him talk about, or any of the other candidates talk about, taking our men and women that we're putting in harm's way for unconstitutional wars that I don't believe Congress have given any authorization to bring them back to the United States of America to protect and defend our borders. So those are just a few of the things that I've not heard, not just from Donald Trump, but from virtually any of the presidential candidates.
And that really saddens me.
You know, we talk about the debates tonight, but really, I mean, I don't know, maybe some of your listeners can key in, and maybe they're watching the debates tonight, but I can almost guarantee you that not one person on that stage will say, you know what, no one's talking about the most important issue of our day. We are a backslidden nation. We've rejected the one true God who has been the secret source of America's strength from our founding and even predating our founding, and that our nation should be broken. We should be on our faces before the one true God who has blessed this country with so much, and that as president, I will do everything in my power to rededicate ourselves to the one true God who has made us great, and I will not enforce any law that is contrary to God's law. I will not recognize any court opinion that violates God's divinely revealed law. I will not recognize any state that seeks to alienate any inalienable right that any person possesses. Those are the types of things that we need to hear from our civil magistrates. And people might say, listening, oh, Greg, you're such a purist. You're such a Bible thumper. You know, Jesus wouldn't even vote for Jesus if he were running. And with all due respect, that's an unfair statement to make, and that's an unfair accusation. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for civil magistrates at every branch and level of government who will rule in accordance with their oath. Is that too much to ask for, Joe and Doug, that our elected representatives would merely abide by their sworn constitutional oaths to protect and defend the God-given rights that we, as human beings, not just as American citizens, but as human beings possess, and most notably, our own right to our own lives? Why haven't we heard that from any of the presidential candidates? Why aren't our presidential candidates recognizing the lateness of the hour? And why are so many Christians supporting a guy like Donald Trump, who I believe is the antipodal opposite of everything that we should be looking for in a president right now? I mean, if you think about it, what does Donald Trump appeal to?
What
do you think he appeals to? Why do so many people support him? Because I have my theory, but what do you guys think?
Change from the status quo as it is now?
But okay, that exactly. However, I think it's much deeper, Greg. When I look at the elections, and I'm want to ask everyone listening, whether it's alive or by archive, look at the political landscape today. Republican and Democrat, obviously. This is what we're talking about. You're talking about Donald Trump on the so-called far right to Bernie Sanders on the socialist docket. Now, Sanders is supposedly gaining steam and is popular among a base of progressive socialist Marxist. I'll stop there. The polarity is striking. But I want to ask this question. Do you feel that there's something wrong? Are Americans looking at the system right now, and because of the lack of action in the political venue, the political theater, are there more people looking at this and saying, wait a minute, I just have a bad feeling. There's something wrong. There's something not right about this. Are people starting to recognize the fact that there's something wrong with the system, inherently with the system? That's my thoughts. Donald Trump, which everything you said, yeah. We've gone so far away from the principles, the godly principles that made us great, that built our country, that we stood for. It's just amazing.
What we need, Doug, and I know we got to go to break in a minute, we could pick this up on the other side, but what we need is an American revolution founded on biblical principles and a recommitment to the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ, who made this country great. And instead, what the people seem to want is a French Revolution. And that's what Donald Trump represents, in my opinion. He appeals to the flesh. He appeals to our sense of pride and materialism. What's the logo that he wears on his hat? Make America Great Again? Well, I'm all right for making America great again, but America can't be great, in the words of de Tocqueville, unless she is good. And we stopped being good a long time ago. And the way for us to be good, well, maybe we do need to control our border and build a border fence, no doubt about that. But Donald Trump is... He represents, I believe, Joe and Doug, a false choice, a false hope. He's appealing to our base anger and rage to burn the puppy down, to burn the system down. And in a sense, he's right. We do need a revolution, but not the type of revolution that Donald Trump is calling for. We need a revolution based on God's principles, based on God's ideals, based on a recommitment to the one true God. And that is only going to be led by the church, and first and foremost, it's going to be led individually in the home. It's going to be led by parents once again taking control, being priests of their home, being the primary instructors of their children's moral and spiritual upbringing, by deciding to come out of Babylon, to take their children out of the Babylonian school system, for example. I mean, you guys know that in L.A., today, maybe some of your listeners don't know it, 900 L.A. Unified Schools were shut down with no notice. The kids are on lockdown and can't be picked up without parents' state-issued ID. Joe and Doug,
Let's get into this on the other side. We're up against the top of the hour break.
Yeah, very important.
When we come back, folks, we're gonna go over again the special promotion on the book giveaway that Greg announced. We're also gonna get into the LA school closures due to the threat that was issued. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report here on Global Star Radio Network with Greg Jackson, staying with us from hour one till hour two, and Stan Deo following. We'll be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.